world order. What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Full Press Hockey Weekly Show. I'm your host, Jim Berenger, rocking and rolling again with my guy, Chris Wassel, part of the NWO. Ian, unfortunately, he's got a power problem, so he's not running the show today. I'm in the producer seat. But this is the Full Press Hockey Weekly Show. Get it at Full Press NHL on Twitter, X. Get Full Press coverage, Facebook, Full Press Hockey on Facebook, fullpresshockey.com, Full Press coverage on YouTube. Chris, welcome back, buddy.
Wow. I mean, it was the night before Thanksgiving, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring except what the heck is going on in Edmonton and New Jersey?
I don't know, man. It feels like everybody's checked out for Thanksgiving already. It's not Christmas, but they're definitely checked out.
Yeah, there's.
It's getting late early for both teams, as Yogi Berra would like to say.
Edmonton, it might be too late, especially considering the most obvious news that we heard today with Mr. Holland and the Edmonton Oilers upper brass situation, as we like to call it. So in so many words, he's a lame duck, Jim.
Well, unfortunately, he's been a lame duck pretty much the whole year.
Yeah.
I mean, look, let's back up the situation a little bit. Obviously, Jack Campbell goes to the minors. He struggled. He finally gets a shutout. That didn't seem to solve the problem. So Jay Woodcroft beats and wins Seattle, and he gets fired the next day. We bring in Paul Coffey, we bring in Chris Knobloch, but Ken Holland's still sticking around. But Jeff Jackson's running the show, and that press conference was a whole complete level of different mess. And look, it's crazy to think that goaltending and coaching were the only problems for this Edmonton Oilers team. This Edmonton Oilers team's personnel, what Ken Holland did was awful. And he should have been gone too. If you think about it, and I put the clip up, it's up there, Full Press Hockey Podcast. Avery Lewis McDougal of the Hockey News had him on. We talked about Edmonton Oilers, and we talked about how it's an organizational problem. It goes back. It's the old boys club there.
Yep.
And it's just the same problems going over and over and over again.
Yeah, this goes back all the way to, geez. I mean, you go a long ways with that team and the old, I hate to say this because we're borrowing this from the Dallas Cowboys, because this is where it started, the old country club mentality. But it's very much prevalent in Edmonton, unfortunately.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, as we.
Yo, what's up, Braden? Good to have you back on Thanksgiving. We're back here. But again, not a lot of Thanksgiving surprises today for a lot of people, especially if you're New Jersey, Edmonton. If you think about it, right? If you look at it and you think about it, Edmonton's got a lot of problems, similar to what New Jersey's got, similar to what Minnesota's going through, poor play in their own defensive zone. And you think about it, and I said, the Edmonton Oilers just don't have the personnel to play this zone plus one system that Jay Woodcroft wanted to put in. You got to stick with this man. But it also doesn't help the fact that Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid aren't the same players that they were last year. But teams are kind of figuring out, if you take those two guys away and you try to make everybody else beat you, well, if everybody else is doing what they're supposed to be doing and you're still scoring four goals, okay, so what's the problem defensively and what's the problem in between the pipes? And let's be honest, the options out there for the Edmonton Oilers are slim to none, and they're all lateral moves.
Right, because they don't have the space to make that big move at all.
But as you've seen and I have seen, mm-hmm. and we both heard,
what's it going to do?
Who's really out there that's a big name?
There's not really much. I mean, look, the time of year doesn't help either. That's the most obvious thing in all this. The timing is awful to start this poorly.
Right.
Worse, as we all know, nobody wants to say it, but we have to. Usually what you are at Thanksgiving kind of becomes what you wind up most of the time at the end of the year, something close.
Is Thanksgiving what it really used to be if the season starts a week or two later?
And that's the thing. So adjust this to say, get back to us around Christmas.
Right.
Because again, I mean, with the schedules and everything and this wacky, look, I think Murray said this the other day, and I thought he was joking at first before they went overseas to Sweden. He's like, you know, when they come back, they play like three times in what feels like 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like you started looking and it's like, oh, damn, I owe him $5 Canadian. Wait, that's four in American. Okay, that's not as bad. Mm-hmm. Actually, it's less than four American. Ouch.
Mm-hmm.
But all joking aside, you know, that's a big problem too. They drew the short end of the straw. There, that's something where, look, Ottawa, I believe, plays 15 games in December and 15 games in January, if I remember right. So, you know, they have quite a backlash, and I think it's like 16 or 17 in March, you know, somewhere on the good old proverbial docket. So, yeah, that's going to be rough. Obviously not the only team that has that kind of crunch schedule, but for a team that is another one that's getting early, getting later, faster now.
Yeah, exactly.
On the bright side, Jim.
No, it does not.
Here you go. Here is the conspiracy theories. You're going to like this. So Damon Severson is out with an injury and Columbus is winning.
Yeah, what you got?
Look, I didn't do this for once. It's not my connection this time. Honest, it is the ghost of Ian.
I don't know what happened. It's
I think it's the ghost of Ian.
Things happen. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, that's but weird, right?
Here's the thing. What do you got for me? Because I think so. It really is weird.
Okay, so there's like some uncanny things that are going on in the NHL tonight, obviously. And one of them is kind of, well, the first 7 minutes in Columbus.
Suddenly,
100%. Like Columbus magically scored two goals. All right. So just for the proverbial update, by the way, the Islanders are in line to blow another lead. Oh, wait, because you know, you have to lead first.
What a shock. What a shocker.
Zach Benson with a heck of a first goal. Yeah, that was one you had to see. Obviously,
Connor Bedard scored again and we got Columbus up 3-1.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, that's crazy enough. I mean, obviously, you know, Boston's gonna Boston. They just keep on finding a way. It doesn't matter who it is. I do think this, though, for what it's worth with New Jersey, Jim, when Hischier does come back, this team does start to sort of, because he's either going to launch a can of Nico whoop-ass on somebody, or he's just gonna go postal in that locker if he hasn't already.
I mean, I think so. I think somebody's got to step up in that room.
Yeah,
somebody's got to say something.
It's
because
not,
this is getting ridiculous.
It's not there right now. It's not there.
No. It's not there. And look, before we jump to the Devils, I just have to say this about the Oilers, right? Like, we look at the options, right? We look at the options that are out there. Who is Jake Allen? Are you going to get Simon Montembeault? I mean, you know, John Gibson's off the market. The Bruins weren't sending either of those goalies to Edmonton.
Nope.
Soros might be staying. He may not be staying. Who knows? Askarov, you really going to trust another rookie goaltender? You're going to get Reimer. I mean, and Blackwood is good because he's on a crappy team in San Jose. Sees a lot of rubber, but he's injury prone. Carter Hart's not moving out of Philadelphia. There's really not a lot of options out there. And the Edmonton Oilers have to play better defensively in their own zone. And it starts there. But the issue is it going to be too late because Leon Draisaitl may be the guy that you don't want to be the one placating to Connor McDavid. But if Leon Draisaitl goes, there's a good possibility that Connor McDavid may follow. I'm not saying it's going to happen. Don't shoot me, Oilers fans, this and that and the other thing.
Calm down. For now.
But there's a realistic possibility that Leon Draisaitl could be the one that goes.
to do something drastic. I mean, look, you, how do I put this? Don't do something for drastic for the sake of doing something drastic, because it doesn't work. Look at Columbus. You want the example of like doing something big and drastic. You think about it. You brought in Lana. You brought in this guy. You brought in Severson. You brought in this is the irony about all the things that Columbus has done.
Right.
The one signing that has actually worked for them so far is Provorov.
I know. He's played great.
This is what's weird. This is the Provorov we saw that one season in Philly. We're all just like, are we going to see this ever? And obviously we didn't. And now we're seeing again. Is it something where it's like he feels like, oh crap, I need to do something now? I don't know. I mean, I am never one to try to get into a head of a Russian player. I know the older ones smoke a lot.
Yeah, but still, I mean, look, Columbus has a lot more issues. The fact that Provorov's playing as well as he's playing on a bad team right now tells you what you need to know.
That's true, too.
And look, there are nuclear options. Edmonton used their nuclear option to change the head coach, and it didn't work.
Yeah.
Now you have a problem in Columbus where, you know, as I was speaking with Russ today, you know, the Mike Babcock effect and residual of Mike Babcock is going through this team. Like, you wanted to bring a hard-nosed head coach in there, set the tone, authority. The problem is these players don't look at Pascal Vincent as that guy because they, you know, not to say they laugh at this guy, but, you know, he was passed over twice to be the head coach. Do you really think, like, these guys really have any interest in what this guy has to say?
I don't think they do. I think especially the upper tier guys. I mean, look, I mean, with Lana, it was pretty odd. But to be fair, Lana, if you take the whole context of the conversation, because of course everybody, one reporter clipped it at about 90 seconds instead of extending it out to the whole 10 minutes. Where if you listen to the other 8.5 minutes, ladies and gentlemen, you get kind of the whole story of what's going on in Columbus.
Right, exactly.
And that's the key point. I want people to form their own opinion based on the whole entire clip first, before we even say anything on here later, whatever, about it. Simply listen to the whole interview first. It's very important that you do, because there's a lot of backstory to this. Obviously, Patrick Laine lost a very dear and personal friend recently. And at least from what I've noticed with certain players and certain professional athletes, you know, we've seen it in other sports too, like cycling. Jonas Vingegaard, for example, lost one of his best friends and literally like compartmentalized, you know, everybody channels it in a different way.
And yeah,
that's, you know, it's kind of how it is these days. It's not like it was in the 50s and 60s or even 70s where everybody's like, it's not like that.
No, it's definitely not like that. And you could tell some of these players have been affected by what happened over in England. And, you know, Laine might be one of those guys, but, you know, also confidence wise, like he needs to play and he can't be scratched. But you can't move him from center to wing, back to center. You got to play him where he's played, and you got to let the guy shoot the puck.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he's a goal scorer. He's one-dimensional. We all knew that coming out of Finland. But he's not the same player he was when he was in Winnipeg. Mm-hmm. Jonathan Huberdeau wasn't the same player he was in Florida. I mean, maybe he's starting to turn it around a little bit. Johnny Gaudreau's definitely not the same player he was in Calgary.
No.
The potential's there, but it's just not. And you're seeing there's a missing link, and it's a playmaker or somebody else that can help them move the puck. Johnny Gaudreau and Patrick Laine are two great players. The problem is they need somebody else because they're a follower. You had the Tkachuk, Lindholm, Gaudreau line in Calgary cooking.
Yeah. Well, why was that? Some guy named Tkachuk.
Right.
Tkachuk was the lead. You know, was the leader there. Lindholm is not a leader.
No.
It's pretty simple with some of these teams why they're underperforming the way they are. I mean, like I said, we could go down the line really fast. It's very obvious. By the way, as long as Boone Jenner's back holds up, he might score 30 goals this year.
Right, exactly. But here's the issue I have with Boone Jenner, right? You see Michael Backlund in Calgary, right?
Yep.
Come out, talk about the noise around Zadorov and Tanev and the guys that could be traded, the Lindholms, guys like that. Goes to the media, says, you know, we've got to cut the noise all in the room. And they start to play a little bit better. They've actually played a little bit better since they lost at that outdoor game.
Mm.
But Michael Backlund has basically come out and be the leader. We haven't heard anything from that Columbus room, from the captain. And the way Boone Jenner handled his situation with Mike Babcock and those statements, you know, yeah, it begs the question, you know, what's going on there?
There's still a lot behind the scenes that we don't know about. We may not know for quite a while.
Right, exactly. So, again, they need to come out and they got to just block all the noise and figure out how to block the noise and get back to playing hockey because they're just not doing it well.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we knew Columbus was going to make the playoffs, but, you know, you can't play the same way and you have to understand the personnel that you have on your team and what you can and cannot do. This isn't John Tortorella's Columbus Blue Jackets, where you play that certain defensive way and that's how you beat these teams. Yeah, but they, you know who they still had? They still had Panarin on the team at the time. And they went all in and it didn't work.
Yeah.
But they got to the second round of playoffs.
Yeah. It's a good point. They got to play different. Can't keep playing the song the same way, and that's I had a couple nice people from Minnesota, including Jesse Pierce, who basically kind of said the same thing today about Minnesota. Dean Evason, for the lack of a better term, is playing this the same way. Would it help mm-hmm. if they had a little better personnel and maybe Bill Guerin hadn't hemmed himself in by handing out those veteran contracts like they were Lou Lamoriello candy? No. But you got to get more out of the players than you're getting out of them right now. And they
absolutely.
They can't kill penalties worth a lick. But again, people watch videotape. So what was happening in the playoffs to Minnesota is happening to them in now. The regular season.
And you could say that about Edmonton. And you could say that about New Jersey. They're all in the same boat. People figured out them from their playoff performances. The MO on New Jersey, play physical against them and expose the goaltending. Well, that's why they're struggling. And their defense isn't as good as it was last year. Maybe it wasn't that good last year, but it was better than it was this year. Mm-hmm. And then the same thing in Minnesota. The defensive effort is just not there. Penalty kill-wise, it's just not good. And Edmonton, their defense and goaltending continues to get exposed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's this common problem with teams not playing well. It comes down to defense and goaltending.
Yeah,
and you look at New Jersey, they're down 4-0. But you go back to the first period again. Still want my Telestrator because I could go to it, but don't worry about that. I'll figure it out. I'll be up on Full Press Hockey on Friday. Chalk Talk is coming back. The chalkboards. I'm bringing the chalkboard.
We almost have to start doing. We have to get a little that and a little squeegee board with a little dry eraser. Just
right.
Just
like I need to show you what I'm talking about. But go find the highlights of the first goal and the third goal tonight for New Jersey.
Oof.
Guys are watching. Guys are too many guys are watching the puck. This isn't 1995 when Jacques Lemaire put the trap in where guys were standing around watching. They were standing around. They were protecting his zone, and they were banging bodies out of the way. You look at John Marino. Look, John Marino's played great since he's been in New Jersey. However, two glaring errors. The game-winning goal against the Rangers on Saturday and the opening goal tonight. He was a passenger, and he watched. He got caught watching both times. He turned the puck over in the neutral zone on the first one and didn't skate back hard enough. And that goal could have been prevented, like the Jimmy Vesey goal could have been prevented. And if people think I'm coming off as a fan, I'm not. It's legitimately, if you go look at it, any analyst will tell you, he needs to make a harder play on that, on the puck and or the body. You can take a penalty, and it's a good penalty to take.
Sometimes you have to. We saw it a few times last year where, you know, look, Devils took a few extra penalties maybe than they should have, and other teams have done this too. It's okay sometimes. Would you rather go with the goal or send a message? Hey, you know what? Yeah, we'll let our penalty kill take care of it. Pretty simple. I mean, it look, Devil's penalty kill isn't that bad.
No.
So why not?
But you have to wonder. You said it before. You have to wonder how much Andrew Brunette had played a role in last year's success.
Yeah, I mean, if you're scoring goals, you're playing downhill hockey. You're not scoring goals early, as often. That's a problem.
That is a problem.
It really is. I mean, and that's how this team thrived last year, and teams kind of figured that out too. It's hey, you know, maybe we play a little tighter at first. We don't try to play with them and get baited in. We have a better chance. And that's worked. Wait for them to make the mistakes instead of us. And as they say, you know, the old South Park the gnome theory, you know, step one, you know, collect underpants, step two, step three, make profit. And it's kind of like what teams are doing to the Devils right now. And yeah, the Oilers and Minnesota.
Look, it's just their breakouts are just not crisp, they're not clean. They're not getting through the neutral zone the way they should be doing it. They're not using their speed. I know Heischer's not in the lineup. I know Meyer's not there. But, and look, Luke Hughes is a rookie. He's going to make rookie mistakes, but he hasn't been the problem on the back end. It's the veteran guys that have really.
It's crazy.
It's the veteran guys that have actually been the problem. And look, Colin Miller's his third game back. He's been fine. But it's everybody else.
It's funny. The younger guys are the guys that haven't been there as long have been playing better than the guys that you would think would know better and be playing better.
Right. And again, like we said with Edmonton's not the only team looking for a goaltender. Oof. The Devils are still looking for a goaltender. I mean, unless Minnesota – and maybe they do. Maybe they miss the playoff. And maybe Fleury decides to waive his no-trade clause. He's an option because he was an option last year, and he's been an option for New Jersey. But, again, does he solve the problem if your defense isn't playing well?
No.
Because, you see, we saw – how many times did we document it last year on this show? During the finals, during the playoffs, Vegas scores 4 goals a game, but they only give up 2.5.
Yeah, look at the Vegas starts in playoff games last year. You knew it's kind of funny, but at the same time, it's also kind of a sobering reality where you knew what you were getting with Vegas, usually in the first 10 minutes of each game.
Yeah, you did. Look, now they're going through a little bit of a slump right now. That's fine. It's okay. It's still early.
Must be nice to be in a slump while winning 12 games to start.
Right, exactly.
Season.
Yeah, I mean, they played over the last 7 games, but still, I mean.
How crazy is this schedule though tonight? You have 3 games with the teams facing each other have at least 12 wins each.
Hey, that's pretty good. I mean, look, we know what's going on with, you know, Boston and Florida and the
Chiefs. That's a good game. It's a good game. We know drama.
We look around, right? And we say Vegas, we say LA's doing well, Vancouver's doing well, how the Hughes brothers great. Pedersen and Hughes and all those guys are up there for points lead.
Yeah.
You know, Minnesota just, again, it's you see a common thread between the Oilers, Minnesota, and the Devils. Defensively, they're just not where they need to be. And again, they're getting exposed and they're just not playing well. And it feels like a couple of seasons ago when the games got out of hand, the Devils didn't have any interest in playing them anymore.
Yeah. It's looking, well, I mean, obviously tonight I kind of see why. I mean, you're gonna see that later tonight too with some of these games where,
yeah, I understand
one team came and one team, well, hey, you know, the turkey's warming up and
it's Thanksgiving tomorrow. Here's the thing, I said this and I'll wrap this Devils thing up. I put on my Twitter, I quoted Lou Brown from Major League, and he said, come on, Dorn, get in front of the damn ball. Don't give me this Ole bull stuff. Well, you know, some of these Devils got to get in front of the puck, and they got to get in front of their man, and they can't be watching.
No, they can't. I mean, look, the one thing that we used to get on, as old-time Devils media fans, et cetera, whatever. The one guy that usually always get in front of things before, unfortunately, the injury that caused him to really his career completely derailed was Colin White.
Right.
Colin White didn't have a lot of talent.
No, he did not.
And even he admitted that. But the one thing he could do is player, puck, body. Real simple.
I mean, it is that simple because you see Vegas do it with their D. And they get the timely save from their goaltender. I know Aiden Hill's not the greatest. Logan Thompson, you know. But they get the timely save. Devils aren't getting a timely save, nor are they playing defense.
No. And you know, some
it's
people
a bad
say,
combination.
Well, yeah, people are saying, well, why not give, you know, Schmidt a run? And it's like, with the way this defense is playing right now, no.
No, you can't.
You really can't do that. I mean, why? First off, I mean, the most obvious is why would you ruin the confidence of a younger player?
When he's potentially your future.
I mean, look, that's kind of the fact in this. And two, it's early. I mean, look, I know it's the whole it's getting, but it's still relatively early for New Jersey. Fortunately for them, because you know what, for what it's worth, I mean, yes, Carolina is absolutely destroying Edmonton tonight, but they're kind of almost in the same boat as New Jersey in a completely different way.
Right, and do we really expect the Metro to still be the Rangers, Flyers, Washington, Carolina, Pittsburgh, New Jersey?
No, you're going to see some kind of change, and you're going to see some kind of abrupt change.
Do we really expect Washington
Lindgren's not going to keep on this run. Let's just look. I mean, all kudos, props, and whatever accolades you want to throw on Charlie Lindgren, but he was injured with a bizarre illness, then had this. Now, I mean, Washington's kind of ticking, you know, they're like the ticking time clock. You don't, I mean, for as bad as they started, then they've gone on this run. You know the other end is coming on the, it's inevitable. That's one team. And all right, we got to answer this too. Yes. If you haven't heard, you know, today, the injury ninja didn't just descend on Pittsburgh. He camped out.
Obliterated Pitt. Yeah. I mean, it really just hurt.
This is bad. I know people don't think it's that bad, but all right. So obviously losing Chad Roadbeetle is not that big of a deal, but he's enough of a depth defenseman guy that you kind of need on that team, given their age on defense. So right. that hurts. Raquel hurts because nobody really even knows how long he's out.
And he really wasn't producing for them anyway.
That's true, but still, you need these guys that are like middle six to produce. So if he's not producing and then he gets hurt, that's a spot that you kind of are missing. So we've heard everything from week to week to month with Raquel. That this could be something of an injury like what we're seeing out in LA with Arvidsson, who's now really is month to month and has to have back surgery. So we'll say it with him at least that Arvidsson is probably out for the year.
Oh, 100% he is.
Yeah, the back surgery they're talking about, 2024, 25 maybe.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, this isn't even a certain thing. So,
but they're still playing. Well, the Kings are still playing well without him.
Well because they have enough depth and they're getting another team that's getting that save when they kind of need it, which we didn't expect at the start of the season, but sometimes these things happen.
But also look at the defense.
They've played much better defensively.
Yep.
So you have Raquel out, you have Roberto, all starting with the R, by the way, Jim, which is kind of weird. Mm-hmm. And of course Brian Rust, who's day to day as well. And we said this at the beginning of the year. It could go bad really quick for Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know if this is what's going to be the tipping point, but this is what we're expecting going forward with Pittsburgh, that they're going to have injuries and waves like this, and they're going to have to weather it somehow. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if they can. If you ask anybody, no one knows. So we just kind of sit back and see what happens.
Look, they've got good goaltending. Nedeljkovic has played well. Jari's played well.
Can they stay healthy?
But you got to stay healthy. Crosby, Malkin, Getzel can only do so much.
Man.
Defensively, they got to play better. Look, I know Ryan Graves is there, but they got to play better. Colorado's defense has to play better. Gorgiev just looks like he's been overworked. Because he's pucks are going through him that shouldn't go through him because he is a number one, but he's getting overworked because they don't have a backup. But defensively, that team isn't playing well either.
But you know what Colorado's doing that the other teams aren't?
What?
They're scoring goals. They're starting to score goals now. They are.
But that loss in Nashville was not great.
No, it wasn't. And you can't really sugarcoat that one, especially giving up the two goals late.
No.
But again, Colorado had two Saturdays where they absolutely crapped the bed and gave up like 14 goals in those two games.
They did.
And then came right back and, oh, we'll just win 6-1 and such, and we'll just stomp this team. No problem.
They still need to address that center position.
You mean second line center?
Yeah.
Didn't we hear this last year? And
we did.
The year before? And feels like it's been kind of a problem for a while.
Yep.
Ah, damn salary cap.
Yep.
Damn salary cap.
So and they're going to be in the market for it again.
Can we do the quickie dum-dum update?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Provorov has another point. It's now 6-1 Columbus. The over has hit in Columbus.
Well, Columbus it's 5-1 down in Carolina. And I got it.
Wait. Let's add another.
6-1.
7-1 now.
Unbelievable.
Somebody's building a snowman, trying to build a snowman in Columbus.
Hey, Patrick Laine on the board. How about that?
I thought it was him. So I'm watching this on the other little part of the screen, which would be right about, let's see, if I do about here. Yeah, about right there, right in this area here.
Yeah.
Just a little bit to the right. Which it actually works. It's not chopping me out, which means my theory holds water here.
Yes.
It's Ian. Sorry, Ian. But all right, to be fair, so if I do the map on the scoring chances real quick, I mean, yeah, Chicago's just getting pummeled.
Yeah, I mean, look, Bedard's got his goal, but they're just getting pummeled. I mean, it's becoming point night in Columbus.
Speaking of, you know, of course.
I got a question for you, just to go back to the Oilers for a minute.
We have to. Yeah.
We have to. Is Ken Holland walking out of Carolina? Like, this is a legitimate question. Because if he's a lame duck general manager, shouldn't Jeff Jackson just take the interim tag right now?
I think he should. You have to get some kind of order there because everything right now is completely chaos and disorder.
It just doesn't make sense because the press conference came off so poorly. Two different stories. Nobody was on the same page. It was a lot of confusion. They probably did talk to some players, but they didn't make the decision based on talking to players.
Mm-hmm.
But if it was Ken Holland's team, Jeff Jackson didn't need to be there. But it's Jeff Jackson's team, and everybody knows it.
Right. So why not?
Don't let him retire. Just because this is the issue I have in Long Island with the Islanders and everybody praising Lou Lamoriello. It's okay to criticize these Hall of Fame general managers.
Yeah, this look.
Because he's Ken Holland doesn't mean he should walk into the sunset and retire at the end of the year. If he's doing a poor job, he should be let go.
Yeah, I mean, wow, you 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 can fire a Hall of Fame coach, GM, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Hockey is a business, right?
Of course it is.
Okay. I'm just asking because, like, it doesn't make sense to me because from where I sit and the people I talk to, the Oilers should have just made a clean sweep. Like, just one of done the whole thing.
One of the first things I talked to Lyle Richardson the other day, and one of the first things he said to me when Woodcroft was fired, how in the heck is that goalie coach still a goalie coach in Edmonton?
Thank you. Thank it you. Was, didn't we talk about that on Pucks After Dark when we did this?
It was
we
the
did
first,
talk about
it,
this.
It was the first thing he brought up, and I was like, Lyle, I got something for you to listen to. I was like, go right here, go on Pucks After Dark, and a little bit in. I was like, it's one of the main things we talked about with Edmonton, and nobody can believe this. And yet, kind of like Holland, the guy is still there.
I actually
refuse to acknowledge his name because he's so bad. All right, for perspective on this sports wise, the Pittsburgh Steelers obviously fired Matt Canada, their offensive coordinator. Finally, this guy was so bad, yet he was there so long, and it was so obvious that he had to go. And yet,
here he was, still here.
And you're kind of having this, an even worse situation twofold in Edmonton.
Lame duck GM.
Well, you lame duck goalie coach.
That's not doing anything because it's a graveyard for goalies.
Yeah. I mean, how are you fixing anything there if
the same issues are constantly coming up with your goaltenders?
And we're seeing this with quite a few teams, unfortunately. And it seems like the usual suspects. Now, to be fair, in some cases, some of these teams are turning it around a little bit.
A little bit, but they're not.
You know, it's like, is it enough? I mean, look, is Calgary really turning it around? I don't think so.
I don't think so, but Markstrom's playing a little bit better.
Markstrom's actually not played bad most of this year, to be honest.
No, but he's playing better.
Right. And that's the thing. I mean, you weren't asking for him to do a complete 180 and be what he was a couple seasons ago.
But
you're just asking him to make
closer.
A few. There's no doubt about it. I've said this to people. I mean, I know the outdoor game, he probably gave up three of the unluckiest goals you could give up in a game.
Right. But he's getting closer. And that's on him, but it's also, and again, it's on the players, it's on the coaches, it's on everybody to get it right. Even Huberto admitted it in Calgary. He needs to play better.
Right.
Johnny Gaudreau's admitted he needs to play better. Like, the players need to play better, but the coaching staff also needs to be
knowledgeable
of what they're doing. Exactly. You saw, like, that's why I say Jack Campbell's a very good goaltender. He just didn't lose his ability to play goaltender when he got to Edmonton. You see what he did in LA, Billy Ranford. You see what he did in Toronto.
I know.
Like, and then when Cam Talbot leaves Edmonton and goes to Minnesota, he's great. He's playing well now in LA. Again, Billy Ranford, and I think they have a different goal. I like that comment. Yeah, Hoover don't. Yep. But it's just, again, you said it to Lyle. Avery was on. I mentioned it to him. He said, yep, same thing. We just don't get it, man. I just don't get what's going on there. And I keep harping on it. I mean, something has to change inside that organization.
Hey, you know, we've said it before. We'll say it again. And then there's just some places where somehow it's worked this year, and we just go, okay.
Okay.
I mean the best example, like we said, obviously, I mean, we used Washington already, so right. Why not go with Winnipeg, where it's just somehow working?
It's just working. I mean,
Josh Morrissey is playing like a Norris Trophy candidate again.
Mark Scheifele's back to himself. Adam Lowry stepping up. Connor Hellebuck's back to his form. Kyle Connor scoring. Their defense is playing well.
They're playing downhill hockey again.
They're playing downhill hockey, but I think whatever was in that room is gone now.
And we'll never know what it was. The theories.
There's theories. Well, I think we know exactly what one of the big problems was.
Yeah.
He's playing in New York right now, so.
Yeah, I'm waiting for that bus to go careening off the rails.
But
upon further review, it hasn't yet.
It hasn't yet, but
I had to do it for the disallowed goal.
Yeah, I know. But like you look at things, a couple things before we wrap up. You look at teams in the playoff. Like we said, American Thanksgiving isn't what it used to be, or Thanksgiving, whatever you want to call it. U.S. Thanksgiving because the Canadian. Yeah. Down here we call it Thanksgiving. But it's not what it used to be. Because it's usually mid-December now that we're looking at it. But your record is what your record is. Bill Parcells said that. You are what your record says you are. Who's the teams you think are going to drop out of this thing? Like we said Washington, we said Philly. Do we really expect those guys to really be there in the end?
No.
Out west, can Anaheim figure out a way?
No, I think Anaheim's starting to become who we kind of thought they would be. They're good. They're going to have occasional streaks where they go on runs just because of who they're playing. But you can see where the wheels are starting to come off. Obviously there's certain teams that you just can't, you kind of wonder, it's like, are they going to move up? You know, we're going to see that move up from Buffalo finally, or are we going to, Buffalo's starting to play a little bit better. They're in kind of a nip and tuck battle tonight, obviously Washington.
Yep.
I think they're going to start looking better once they get a bit healthy. If they could ever get somewhat healthier, I don't think Owen Power is 100% at this point either. Doesn't look like it at times out there.
No, so, he doesn't. And I've just seen some clips from Sportsnet. Connor McDavid on the bench does not look happy.
No. Braden, I was just about to bring this up, man. Braden reads my mind on at least six times a show here.
He really does. The
St. Louis implosion theory, which Jonathan Davis from Show Me the Money on it's podcasted on VSIN.
Right.
As eloquently put this for, I think about the last 3 years when St. Louis loses, they often lose by at least two goals on a almost mind-numbingly consistent basis. And they legitimately can implode at any time.
They could.
And I think they will at some point. It's a matter of time. And in this case, as Billy Joel said it, it's a matter of trusting your instinct.
Unless their goaltending stays the way it stays.
Do you think Mel Gibson clone Jordan Bennington is going to be able to keep it together for an entire season? That's what it comes down to.
That's what it does come down to. It comes down to that.
I don't know. Gut says no, but you know what? All it takes is one time.
Exactly. All it does is take its one time. Exactly.
Man, it's crazy though, Jim.
It is crazy.
It's already right. American.
Two more things before we wrap up for tonight.
Yep.
A, where does Patrick Kane go? Is it Florida, Dallas, Detroit, Buffalo?
Ooh.
Sleeper pick.
I want to go sleeper pick, but you know what? Man, Florida looks really good.
They do. Do they need him though?
I don't think they really need him. They've got some emerging talent that makes it kind of like curious at best why you would even be this far in the Patrick Kane. I don't even know if you want to call it sweepstakes at this point. Just sort of the Patrick Kane.
I think it's Patrick Kane. Which team can trust me the most with my health?
And that's a good question.
Because
Dallas or Detroit?
I think it's one of those two teams, to be honest. I mean, I think Florida's in there. I don't think Buffalo.
I keep hearing them. It's not going away.
What, Detroit or Florida?
Detroit or Dallas.
It seems that's like what I keep hearing too.
It really
comes
is.
Down to travel for him. It's what it's going to come down to.
So obviously Detroit's X factor is DeBrincat.
Right. And Dallas's X factor is he knows Sagan and all those guys.
Yeah.
I know. And everybody's like, well, travel's not a big deal for him. Well, travel might be a big deal for him. He played in Chicago. Like, he's played in the Central Division before.
Yeah, I don't know. Look, I've gone back and forth on this with quite a few people, and we don't know. We really
don't know, because
I wish I could tell people, hey, you know, he's going here. Beat guys have said the same thing. They really don't know either.
Nobody knows, because nobody knows how truly healthy he is.
Right. I know. I want to say it was not during. Maybe it was during Leafs lunch.
Maybe
it was kind of interestingly hinted at that. Nobody knows the health of Patrick Kane, but Patrick Kane right now, and even he's not sure.
And yeah, I mean, Dave Pagliotta said the same thing. He said the same thing.
Yeah, this is something that has been repeated by quite a few people. And at first, it's like you sit there and go, well, you know what? You get sucked in a little bit where it's like, hey, it looks pretty good out there. And then you're realizing, well, nope, not yet.
Nope, not yet.
Because you would have made a decision by now.
Yep, exactly. So it could come down to money. It could come down to where he can go. Like with Nylander, who's, you know, what a beast that guy was in Sweden, puts up 5 points, goes home as a rock star. Just unbelievable for the Leafs. We'll see what happens with him. And like with Pettersson, these guys just don't seem to care, and the two Swedes are taking off right now.
It's crazy, right?
It is crazy.
Man.
But on here on the topic board, the Winter Classic jerseys, they came out. Seattle Kraken, Fire, Vegas.
The Vegas one is going to grow on people.
I think the Vegas one will grow on people because I haven't seen the whole I haven't seen the whole uniform, but the Seattle one is probably one of the best ones I've seen in a while. I'm not going to lie. FYI, this wasn't the first day they were revealed.
That's also true.
Was it accidentally on purpose? Was it accident? You got Utah Jazz players wearing them last week.
That was pretty funny. I got
the Seattle Kraken jersey at Utah Jazz game. And then Rene Paquette on AW full gear at the pre-shows wearing the Vegas Golden Knights one.
Yep.
And I'm like, okay, so did we do this accidentally on purpose? Does the league know that they're out? Did they do it? And then we did a full reveal today. I will say that this might be the first hockey jersey I'm buying in a while, though. That Seattle one.
All right. So, again, Braden brings up a really good point. There's a real disconnect with the Seattle. I will say this. You either love it or you hate it.
Right.
There is no in-between on it because, again, like we mentioned, it's been accidentally on purpose revealed, like what feels like a few times, to be kindly.
Well, it happened almost a week ago?
Yeah. So, also, fans, media, etc., have had time to unwittingly digest it.
The Seattle one's grown on me, I gotta say. I like the red S, the tribute to the Metropolitans. It's cool.
Wait, it doesn't. Oh, I can't say that here. It doesn't have the injury ninja wash your hand sign on it because, well, as we all know, the Metropolitans won. Blue.
Yeah. Blue Cup. Yep, they won the Blue Cup. Yep.
All right. It will be something that will grow on more people, and it's going to be something that is absolutely despised by some people too.
Absolutely, 100%. I agree.
Not everybody's going to like this. So you know what? Hey, you know what? I can tell you a number of Seattle fans that are definitely buying this jersey. I mean, like, literally, they're like, just come take my money. Much like the Devil's hat that just says hat.
I'm getting sick and tired of that stuff, too.
Well, you know, look. All right.
I don't want to be the potty pooper.
No. It's a simple matter of fact of nature. It has a point where it's marketable. And it has a point where it hits the law of diminishing returns.
We've hit that point.
Way past the point of the law of diminishing returns.
Way, way past.
Way past.
Way
and things
past.
And things are always like that, especially when they go viral. When you have that big of a spike, what's going to happen eventually?
Comes down. Always does.
Which, much like the product on the ice, sometimes.
Sometimes it does. But, ladies and gentlemen, that does it here for the Full Press Hockey Weekly Show. No Pucks After Dark this week, but we will be back. We're going to do more Pucks After Dark. I promise you this, because that was fun. That was fun. It was a late night segment. It was really good. Pucks After Dark, if you didn't see it. Check it out always at Full Press NHL on Twitter. Check the replays. Full Press Hockey on Facebook, Full Press coverage on Facebook, Full Press coverage on YouTube. Get it, iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. This has been the Full Press Hockey Weekly Show. Been your host, Jim Berenger. Always Full Press Hockey. Chris Wassel down below. Always a pleasure. We'll be back again real soon. Take care, everybody.